You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation, and welcome to your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is David Ermil, and I'm here with a special guest, Michael Pina of SB Nation, and lately of the Open Floor Podcast with Ben Golliver. How's it going, Michael?
Going great, David. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. And the reason you're here, of course, is because you recently published an excellent piece on SB Nation about Bam Adebayo. A lot of going on with Heat Nation lately, and I don't think every fan knows exactly what they want out of this team, whether or not they see it as a title contender or not. But the one thing that everybody can agree on is that Bam Adebayo is pretty damn good.
Yeah. First of all, I was following your footsteps. You kind of set the trail there with your piece, which was excellent, which I told you offline before that I couldn't read your piece until I wrote and reported my own because of my own, you know, silly superstitions and didn't want to get infected by your wonderful work. So
thank you. Thank you for that.
Everyone should read your piece as well on FanSided. It's great. Bam Adebayo. Yeah, he's one of the most unique players in the NBA, one of the best defensive players. I would say he's one of the five best defenders in the entire league. He can do things no one else can. And when you kind of combine the defense and the versatility and the power and his ability to move laterally as well as vertically, when you combine that with just his uniqueness on the offensive end as someone his size who can handle the ball, who can play make, who's been enabled by the Miami Heat to operate from the elbows and initiate offense and get them into triggers, it's really awesome to see. And he's only 22 years old. And Eric Spoelstra said when they were in New York that he doesn't want to put a ceiling on him and he doesn't want to put handcuffs on him. And it's just kind of scary to see the growth that he's made. And I, in thinking about what he can be, I struggled myself to put a ceiling on him. I have no idea.
Yeah. First of all, that's an Eric Spoelstra thing. He doesn't put a ceiling on anybody. And that sucks because you're trying to write profiles on Heat players. And you're like, so what do you think of this player's growth? He's like, well, we don't put a ceiling or we don't attach a label to it. It's like, well, goddammit, I kind of want you to because I need this for my piece. But yeah, he's like that with almost every player. But I mean, in Bam's case, it absolutely works out. He's so unique. That's what drew me to him. And you know, obviously, I've seen him kind of mature over the last couple of years. But I'm curious, what did you think about him last year? Because we're seeing a version of him now that we have not seen before. We've only seen glimpses of over the last couple of years where he was kind of stuck in this rotation alongside Hassan Whiteside and Kelly Olynyk and stuff like that. But what did you have this idea about Bam last year or going into the season, or are you just kind of basing this off of what we've seen over the first 20 something games of the year?
No, I mean, we saw snippets last season, as you alluded to. I mean, he was one of 21 guys last year to play in all 82 games. Didn't start until, I believe, after the All-Star break on a permanent basis when he replaced Hassan Whiteside there. And I mean, the Heat did not make the playoffs, but they looked pretty cohesive when he was on the floor and he gave them good minutes. And you just kind of, I mean, he was intriguing, but it wasn't like he was separating himself from other young bigs around the league in any notable way, in my opinion. And then you get to this year and he just explodes. And, you know, obviously the minutes are a big thing and the playing time and him being a permanent starter. And I think he leads the Heat in total minutes so far this season. So that's a big deal. And that's a part of the production, but you just kind of see the touches and where he's getting it on the floor routinely and how he's setting up guys. And I mean, I think the roster that is around him right now is so beautiful because there's so many shooters and he can't really shoot threes yet. And I say yet because who the hell knows what he's going to be doing in 2 years.
Right.
It's probably going to be pulling up from like 35 feet. But having those shooters in Miami's half-court offense, which is just based on player movement and motion offense, and he reads the defense so well, He makes a ton of mistakes, and those really pop out. And that's when I sat down with him, we talked about his mistakes quite a bit. And that's something that he understands that he needs to work through them to get to the other side and be a better basketball player. So I love that. I love his boldness. I love his fearlessness in that regard. And he's not afraid to make the mistakes. And so I think when you just look at his trajectory and what he can be going forward, it's really scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you had any kind of ideas about Bam, like when he was first drafted, but one of the things that's always stuck out to me and a lot of Heat fans and our listeners is that when he was first drafted, we had very little idea of what to make of Adebayo. Like, we saw some grainy workout footage. I don't know if you remember this, when he was selected by the Heat, of him shooting threes. And that was like an obvious area of need. And the team, as you know, I said before, already had Hassan Whiteside. In a month, they would wind up signing Kelly Olynyk from the Celtics in free agency. And so you've got what you think is the center position locked down, and all of a sudden you acquire this player and you have no idea what to make of him. And I know you talked to John Calipari at Kentucky about his role, and that was, he understood where I think that perspective came from, and that there, if I recall correctly, the quote was, you know, we're here to win games and we have to win games. And so there's only so much time they can do or they can have to put players in position to kind of maximize their wealth of skills. Did you get that sense from Calipari that he was talking about that way about Adebayo in particular?
Yeah. Coach Calipari was a little defensive to my line of questioning, which was basically like, you know, why are we just seeing this now? And right. I also talked to his high school coach when he was a senior in North Carolina. And he said kind of the same thing. It's like, we saw this stuff in open gyms and runs and pickup games, but like having him do it in an actual game offensively, it didn't make sense for us because we have to win. So we needed Bam in high school. The coach said, Brandon Clifford, you know, we needed to win. So we needed Bam to score. We needed him to rebound. We needed him to be a pick and roll player, someone who could just dominate in the paint. And Calipari felt the same way. You know, that team had De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk handling the ball a ton. And so it didn't really make sense to have Bam average, you know, 6 turnovers a game or whatever he would have at the time, operating from the elbows and initiating offense. So fit and role and I guess patience is all critical here. It all matters. Like, the Heat know that this is a long game. They know, you know, they can't, like, Calipari couldn't slow roll Bam Adebayo in his offense. He couldn't say, okay, we're going to have you do this season, and then next year you're going to do this, and then the year after that you're going to do this. It was more, okay, you're going to be the role man in pick and rolls, and you're going to use your freakish athleticism. So when he came out of college, that's kind of just what I thought he was. Yeah. And, you know, that's why I don't watch too much college basketball, to be honest, because I get this impression of what someone's doing in that environment, and I just, it sticks in my head, and I box that player into a category. And Adebayo is a great example of someone who cannot be boxed into a category. And it's awesome to see him get drafted by a team that, you know, won't put him in a box and will let him explore all of his talents and his ball skills and his guard skills. And because not every team in the league would do that. And it kind of makes you wonder about how many guys are kind of fit uncomfortably into roles for the good of the team, but, you know, maybe they're able to spread their wings and show, you know, more avenues to their skill set than their team is allowing.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more in the next segment. We'll talk more about Bam Adebayo with SB Nation's Michael Pina next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 off towards your select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockednba and visiting LockedNBA at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, don't worry about it. You can find this and all the other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Here with Michael Pina and talking about Bam Adebayo, I think a player who's quickly emerged as one of the favorites among the Heat fan base. And we're kind of talking about how his natural skill set is something that's been well developed, and we haven't really seen the full extent of it. One of the things that he keeps talking about, he mentioned it to me, I think he mentioned it to you, and he's mentioned it elsewhere, is this idea that he's off the leash. It seems to be a recurring theme with him, and that's an interesting one because he's off the leash this season because obviously Hassan Whiteside's out, and we're talking about how the whole roster is built to accommodate his ever-expanding skill set. But what do you see as the ceiling for Adebayo? I mean, we can't categorize him, obviously, and that's one of the things that we keep talking about. And I think I actually answered a question recently about whether or not, you know, where would he rank if he was able to shoot three-pointers at a league average clip? And that's kind of, it's hard to predict because, I mean, that sounds like a pretty damn good player. If you look at his defensive versatility, all that he does around the rim, his athletic explosiveness and his playmaking ability, and you incorporate somehow a long-range shot into that, that sounds pretty good. I mean, is the version of off the leash of Bam Adebayo like a league MVP?
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, before I started seriously considering writing about Bam, I asked myself, you know, okay, can he be an all-star this season? Because I was looking at his numbers. They were, you know, popping out in just about every category. I was looking at his defense, just watching film. And I was like, how many Eastern Conference centers would I take over Bam Adebayo if I were starting a team tomorrow? And if I had to answer that question a year ago, there's a bunch of guys who would be competing in that conversation. And right now, I got to say, the only player who I would, without question, take over Bam is Joel Embiid.
Whoa.
And that just speaks volumes. I mean, I could be wrong. Who knows? This is just my
opinion. No, I mean, I could say, no, I mean, off the top of my head, again, Joel Embiid obviously has a good case. Nikola Jokic has a case to be made in his favor, and Karl Anthony Towns, but both of them have
right.
Yeah. So.
No. Those are I meant Eastern Conference.
So,
those two are obviously I had those guys in my story as examples of you know, all NBA caliber bigs who, again, we talk about, you know, not being able to be thrown in a category. I find that the center position in the league right now is very cookie cutter in a lot of ways. There's only so many boxes you can throw people in. And so you can't throw Embiid in anything. You can't throw Jokic or Towns just for how they play offensively and defensively. And Bam is kind of simmering right below those guys, not maybe in terms of talent or of overall impact yet, because he still can't, like, you can't throw the ball at Bam and he has like a you know, half a dozen post moves to get you a bucket or get to the line. He's pretty good in those situations and he's improving weekly, it seems, which is just ridiculous. But yeah, going back to it, I mean, Embiid is by far just a dominant post presence. You throw him the ball. I mean, there was a game earlier this year against the Heat, Sixers Heat, where Embiid just like obliterated Adebayo in a way that I don't think any other player has this season. So he's really the only guy. And I mean, that, in my opinion, that just speaks volumes about Adebayo's overall skill set, his growth, and his potential.
Yeah. I mean, if I recall correctly, I thought Adebayo actually held his own a little bit. I mean, you probably broke down the footage a lot more than I did. After that game, it was a pretty lopsided loss for Miami. And we're recording this on a Wednesday, the night that the Heat are going to match up against the Sixers. So there'll be more to talk about afterwards, I'm sure. But if I recall, I thought Adebayo actually kind of held his own a little bit with Embiid. I mean, maybe you remember it differently then, obviously, because you did go through that film a little bit. What was it that stood out as far as Embiid, as you said, dominating Adebayo?
Yeah, I mean, I might be hyperbolizing the situation a little bit, but as you said, that game was just a total blowout.
And it was.
I didn't break down that particular encounter because I was trying my best to find his best standout performances, and that game was more like, I mean, it was the Jimmy Butler coming back to Philadelphia show. Josh Richardson kind of went off.
Yeah.
The game that I used in the story that really stood out to me, even though the Heat lost, was against the Houston Rockets.
Right.
In a contest where Adebayo from the opening tip was covering Russell Westbrook and shadowed him the entire game as his primary defender. And honestly, that game, I was already reporting the story at that point, but when that happened, I was just like, my jaw just dropped. I couldn't believe that the Heat put him on Westbrook. We talk about players who switch 1 through 5 and who can do something like that without embarrassing themselves. And there's only a handful of guys who can do that, and I would put Bam in that category. But to have him start the game on Westbrook, that's just, it's like totally unheard of. I mean, that we spent a little bit talking about that particular matchup, and Bam was shocked when Spoelstra first told him that that was what he wanted them to do. So it was even surprising to him. He was elated at the opportunity to show his rare ability and what he could do in that matchup. And you look at the film, and Adebayo keeps Westbrook in front of him basically the whole time. So, which is just like one of the hardest things to do on a basketball court. His skill set, his everything about him is just so rare and unique, and it's really fun to see where he's going. And it was a stroke of good luck on my part that he won Eastern Conference Player of the Week the same week that my article published.
Yeah, I mean, and so you were kind of reading the tea leaves, and I think it's something that we've kind of seen as a possibility, but it's just his numbers are, they don't stand out in any kind of way, and you kind of just have to watch him. And I think that's something that I tried to write about, and you certainly did too, is that it's just when you watch Bam, his impact is so great, and yet he doesn't put up the kind of gaudy stat lines that your typical casual fan might say, oh, he's great. Like I think even the same day that your piece came out, if I recall correctly, he had a really good game, and then there was that debate on the TNT set between Charles Barkley and Shaquille. Was that the same day that your piece came out where they were kind of arguing?
Yeah, that was the next day, yeah.
it's kind of ridiculous that, I mean, I could see how your average fan might look at Bam and go, oh, he's not really an all-star type. He doesn't put the kind of numbers up that stand out. And especially for a guy like Shaq, who, like, his idea of domination is 35 and 15, and to put that up on a regular night, if not, you're not quite living up to the what's expected at the center position. But I mean, he does change the game in so many ways, particularly defensively, but he's starting to get to that point offensively where he does so many things so well. To kind of go back to your point about his defense on Westbrook, I think a lot of Heat fans recall from a couple years ago, I think it was his rookie season actually, where he was matched up one-on-one on Steph Curry on the perimeter, and this is out on an island there where you've seen so many people die at Steph Curry's dribble, and he holds his own completely, shuts him down, and then I think winds up getting a block on it. And this is like, and then later on that season, he does a phenomenal job on LaMarcus Aldridge, where he does the same thing, where LaMarcus can't get his turnaround jumper off because of Bam's length and athletic explosiveness. And it's like, you see this and you're like, wow, there isn't anybody he can't defend to some extent. I mean, obviously the bigger centers create a little bit of a problem for him, but he's just so great defensively. And it's just been fun to watch him. But we'll kind of talk a little bit more about this in the next segment, wrap it up with some general Heat questions. You're listening to Locked On Heat. If you're looking for a last-minute fun sports gift for the holidays, go to BreakingTee.com/LockedOn. Breaking Tee makes sports T-shirts around teams' most passionate moments, great for all fans. Go to BreakingTee.com/LockedOn, and then feel free to search the site for great shirts and fun sports gifts. We're here with Michael Pina of SB Nation talking about Bam Adebayo. One of the things that I wanted to get into it was one of the little details that probably gets overlooked by a lot of people when you're reading a piece as great and as detailed as yours, is that the home screen on his phone is the green trailer that he came from. How did you find that out, that little bit of information? Because that really stood out to me. And I know he's very he's sensitive about where he came from, and that he uses that as a great motivational tool. But how did you happen to notice that was what was on his phone?
Right. So that was something that Calipari actually told me.
And oh, wow.
So we got into that a little bit talking. Calipari opened up quite a bit about just Bam, who he wanted to talk a lot about who Bam is as a person and what makes him so special. And, you know, I initially it wasn't in my mind to talk about It was in my mind more to focus on who Bam is as a player and all of his unique attributes on the court. And then, you know, as you're reporting it, and I got to talk to Josh Richardson and Dennis Smith Jr., who's known him since the seventh grade. And, you know, these guys, like, their faces light up when you say, hey, do you have a minute to talk about Bam Adebayo? And so, you know, they were more interested in talking about who he is as a person and telling stories about why he's so special in the locker room, and why he's such a special teammate, and why he loves to play around, but he also takes the game so seriously. And he keeps things light when it needs to be kept light. So, I mean, that detail, yeah, that was Calipari just kind of divulging it to me. And then there was a piece on Bam when he was at the University of Kentucky in Sports Illustrated that had a few more details. But yeah, very good feature. So I used that a little bit as well. But, I mean, Bam just seems like an all-around great dude. And it was a pleasure, honestly, to sit down with him and chat for as long as the Heat allowed and get to know him a tiny bit. But yeah, he's a very special person, and it's really awesome to see him just grow and take advantage of this opportunity as he has.
So speaking of special persons that you've actually had a chance to report on yourself, the relationship with Jimmy Butler, you talk about Bam in the locker room, but you also kind of alluded in your piece how, you know, he's able to kind of bark back at Jimmy a little bit and that they have established this really quick friendship, but we're starting to see that develop more and more. Like, they've only been teammates for, you know, a few months now, and somehow they've managed to bond very well. You know, you talked to Jimmy a lot. You went to his home. You wrote that fantastic piece that we talked about over the summer. But how do you see that relationship playing out? Would you have expected that a guy like Jimmy, who can be so notoriously difficult and things of that sort, would be able to get along well with a guy like Adebayo, who's so lighthearted and yet still so young and kind of trying to prove himself in the league as well?
Yeah, Bam is lighthearted for sure. And I think Jimmy is too, to a certain extent.
Yeah,
What Jimmy respects, I think, is the work ethic. And I think everybody around the Heat organization respects the work ethic. And that was one of the reasons that they drafted him in the first place. So I don't want to speak out of turn and say that, you know, anyone who Jimmy has been upset at in the past is not a hard worker. I don't necessarily believe that to be true. But one of the things
you can trash the Sixers on this podcast. It's okay.
But one of the things I did chat with Bam about with regards to Jimmy was just how, you know, when Jimmy once told me that, you know, he holds everyone to a certain bar, and if you don't reach that bar, he'll let you know in a way that you probably won't appreciate. And with Bam, you know, Bam recognizes that, but he's also like, I'm always at that bar or way above that bar. And so we never really have an issue. He doesn't need to say anything to me about, or get on me about, hey, you need to get into the gym at this time. You need to stay late doing such and such. So I think they're very compatible. I think just on a general level, like, the entire Miami Heat organization from top to bottom is just so locked in on the same cultural touchstones, and when you bring in players who believe in the same things, it good things happen. That's why they're such a winning team.
I want to get into that a little bit, because I think we're at this point of season where they've exceeded expectations now. Mm-hmm. And watching the team so closely and then taking questions from my listeners and everything else like that, it's kind of hard to get a general perspective outside of the sphere of Heat fandom and everything else like that. But what is your take on this Heat team? Like, how far can they go? We're at a point right now, I think, among my listeners where they feel like they're one player away. And so you hear about Jrue Holiday being on the trade block, or you hear about Steven Adams potentially getting moved and all these other players, and everybody keeps formulating these fake trades to acquire another superstar or another big name to fit alongside Jimmy and Bam. What's your take on this Heat team and how far they can possibly go in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've overachieved a little bit. I don't think they're going to shoot the ball all year long as well as they have up to this point.
Yeah, they're already struggling with that. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I think, for sure. I think when you're relying on Tyler Hero and Kendrick Nunn, just like rookies who play get take a lot of big shots and to have large roles in a winning situation, there's going to be droughts. And I think we're already seeing that with Nunn in particular.
Oh, but yeah.
Like, yeah, so...
That's a sensitive area among Heat fans because, I mean, he I know about his past, and so it's always been difficult for me to even talk about or report about it. And then at the same time, you've got this player who's putting up 25 points, although I always, you know, maintain that they feel like empty calories, and that just opens up a shitstorm on Heat Twitter. It's like, I can't even discuss Kendrick Nunn without having somebody bring up something I said a month and a half ago, and now that it's kind of proving right, what am I going to say? I'm in a position now where I can't say, well, Kendrick is struggling because he's, you know, 24 and he's a rookie and his game is limited. He's limited as far as his size. And then people are already saying, can we get a first round pick and Drew Holiday in exchange for Kendrick Nunn? It's like, no, that's not going to happen. Yeah. It's not realistic. Sorry. I just felt like throwing that in there. Sorry.
No, for sure. I mean, they have a lot of guys who score in double figures. It's more like an attack by committee sort of team. And I'm not sure, like, I don't know if there's any player out there who's going to put you over the top, and making a trade in general is going to be really difficult for this team because as a lot of people have talked about, if you move, you know, because of just how the contracts are structured, if you make a trade, you're going to be shipping out someone who is a reason why you are winning right now. So, It's really difficult for them to get better. I mean, Drew Holiday would be wonderful. I don't think Drew Holiday makes you better than the Milwaukee Bucks in a 7-game series. I think, you know, Drew Holiday can't guard Joel Embiid. So it's tricky for them to get over the hump now. And it's a little frustrating, I imagine, because you're tied to Jimmy Butler's timeline a little bit with his contract and his age. I mean, he looks great and he's a physical specimen, so who knows how long he can sustain this going forward. But I mean, if I were them, I would just slow roll this and I would be very patient and I would go hard in the summer of 2021 when they should have a lot of cap space and a lot of flexibility to sign another star. I would not go for it right now. I don't think they are on the level in a 7-game series with the Bucks, the Sixers. I think it'll be really interesting. You know, I'd put them on par with the Raptors. I think the Celtics are ahead of them right now. And so even if you were to get out of the East, which I don't think you're going to, you know, at the Lakers and the Clippers, those teams are just like, in a 7-game series, we haven't really seen what those teams can do yet, I think. Yeah. So They're a nice feel good story. There's nothing wrong with that, and I think they can make a leap in the years ahead.
That is far too nuanced and level headed an opinion, Michael. I'm sorry. You're supposed to be going on there and saying this Heat team is awesome, that they clearly have 5 All Stars on the roster, and that they're going to take it to the next level. You mentioned the Pacers there. And one of the comments in your piece, and I know you probably don't read the comments as well, you shouldn't, is that Domantas Sabonis is like a comparably good player to Adebayo, and probably, you know, worthy of All-Star consideration as well. What's your take on Sabonis versus Adebayo, if that's even an argument? I know they're different players, but
they're really funny. It's funny because they're like yin and yang guys. Like if you if you mashed up both of their skill sets together, that player would be the best big man in NBA history or something like that. So, I like Sabonis a lot. I think just when I look at big men, I think about the playoffs and I think about how many different guys can this person defend and can they get played off the floor and are they going to be vulnerable on the defensive end? And, you know, with Sabonis, he's just a little more difficult to plug and play also. So just on an intrinsically valuable level, I think Bam Adebayo fits almost anywhere because he can do so many different things. Whereas Sabonis, it's just a little trickier with him on the defensive end. But I will say I was looking today at Basketball Reference's MVP tracker, which I check in on from time to time, and Sabonis was number 9. So I thought that was really interesting. Also, Adebayo was number 9 like 3 or 4 days ago. So I don't. it's coming full circle for us right
now. Yeah, he struggled a little bit in the most recent loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, which is not something I thought I'd say. But either way, look, none of this matters because, as you alluded to, they've got cap space at 2021 they're looking to use, and I think a lot of people are excited about Giannis Antetokounmpo joining this team because he happens to share an agent with Bam Adebayo. So it's a done deal. This is a championship contending team for years to come. But we'll get to that point. I can't wait to read your piece in a couple of years on Antetokounmpo's free agency period where he signs with Miami. Thank you so much for taking the time, Michael. I really appreciate you dropping by and talking about Bam Adebayo.
Thank you, David.
That's it for today. You can connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support. Yeah! Wrap it up, B.